Well, I'm talking to Dennis Ashby, who I understand you didn't actually work for the ministry, but you were to do
A
with the
telephone
hospital,
engineer,
telephone,
post,
yeah.
yeah, that's right.
And what period would this be in, Dennis?
I started on the post office in 1946, and I was a boy, right? And
That was your first job, was it, in the
now,
cabinet?
during the war, I was working in a cabinet factory on aircraft production, making mosquito wings.
Oh yes, oh,
And
I was
then,
at the De Havilland
oh
Works,
yeah,
yes.
I worked for the Coal Cabinet Factory at Lincoln Road.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they made De Havilland wings and mosquito wings and collapsible salt craft and pontoon rafts and bailey bridges.
I
Then the
see.
war ended and they changed over to furniture manufacturing. And I decided to get out because I didn't like what I saw, And I applied to get on the post office engineering side, right, telephone side, and I had to wait for a while. And eventually I was released because it was directed labour during the war, wasn't
Yes.
it? And when I was released, I started working on the telephones at Bowes Park Exchange at Wood Green. And then we used to travel out. I was on an overhead gang, and we used to
What,
travel
maintaining
out.
the overhead cable?
No, mostly installing at that
Oh,
time
yes.
because everything had been lapsed during the war and there was a big backlog to catch up, lots of poles to erect and phones to put on and everything like that. And I was worked in a four-man gang, right, And we used to work all out this way, Nays in Hollister and all that. But the area we could cover would be anywhere from King's Cross to St Albans, the other side of St Albans. You never knew where you was working. You went where to work, was like, But I came into this factory quite early on, and it amazed me because it was one mass of overhead wires and trees and everything like
Yes,
that,
that
you
would be
know.
in the 50s, would it?
Well, late 40s,
Oh,
because I
yes.
went in the army in 1948
Oh, yeah.
and then resumed on the post office
What were you in the other?
1950 in
Oh, yeah.
Royal
Oh,
Signals.
yes.
You had no option really, because if you'd been
Yes.
on telephone engineering,
Oh, yes.
That was a foregone conclusion.
Okay.
But so I had 2 years. I went to Germany for a while and then came back. They was forming a new division to go to Hong Kong. But we come back to the transit camp at Agrippa and had all our jabs and kitted out, and they found we'd missed the boat. So they said, "Oh, we can fly you out and pick it up in the Med somewhere." But they said, "Oh, we haven't got long enough service to do it, it's not economically viable." So I got home posting back to Catrick, the home of the Royal Signals, and I ended up in an officer training wing. It was where the training officer cadets from Mons Cadet School. And then I got demobbed in beginning of 1950. And that division, what I would have thought gone to, that was the first British troops into Korea. That was, but I was demobbed by then. I'll
Oh,
come out
yes.
in March. February 1950.
Nice. And then you
And then I was yearning back on the post office and same type of work but with a different foreman because the old foreman had retired
Where
by now.
would you be
Wood
then?
Green,
Wood Green, yes.
Post Park Exchange. And doing the
Well,
same
different
sort of
foreman by
work,
then.
same sort of
The staff
work.
had changed,
Yeah,
yeah.
different foreman, yeah. And a lot of sort of chaps who was coming out of the army, joined, because a lot of the old post office men was retiring then, And gradually got trained up, and as I say, I was a youth and trained, I got made up to a skilled workman and established, and then eventually got made up to a skilled workman class 2B, 2 being otherwise class 2A, which was another step up, and later on in my service, I got a or Tech One, they called them then, a foreman's
Yes.
job. So I could sing that little song, I got the foreman's
Got
job at
former job at
last,
last, yes. Oh yes, and then how did you
But,
come about
and then, well, in the
coming down here?
50s time, they started doing a lot of work in here in the 50s,
Yeah.
especially over the south side at the RCI gate and
Yes,
the
Sewiston,
Sewiston gate. That was the new gate where they
yeah,
built a new
Guncotton Gate
hospital.
was the other
That
one,
was
was
the
it?
original
Oh
one,
yes,
Guncotton,
yeah.
yeah. But we've done a lot of work in there, and Dimmocks was doing a lot of demolition in there, taking tons and
Oh
tons of
yeah.
stuff out of lead and all that. Lots of demolition going on. We had quite a lot of work then to do, pole direct and
In a
new
way, he
buildings.
was actually, the digression slightly, he was actually the one who was taking away what we could do now with all the
That's right,
artifacts.
that's right.
Yeah, but anyway, it's
Yeah,
another
because
story,
in some
yes.
of those buildings they had lovely lead floors, with lead burners
Yes.
and the seams were just like herringbone patterns down, and, you know, it was a real tradesman.
The chap had gone back and forth.
Yeah, beautiful, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah. I gradually started reconstructing, like, you know, we got more and more work then. And then we didn't work working all the time, we drifted out other jobs and all that. And then I started splitting big gangs up and having two man installers. So me and a chap named Arthur Waldy, we opted to come in here to do any work which came up in here and a small arms factory, because nobody liked working in here because you couldn't smoke and you was a bit restricted, like, you know. But we didn't mind it, and at least our governor couldn't find us when we was in there.
Very nicely forested.
That's thing, right. Yeah. So we come in here and we used to do most of the installation work and all that. And at that time we had a governor who was an Irishman. And he used to drive a little VW car, and we used to know the police on the gate quite well, right? And we said, our governor might come looking for us. He's an Irishman with a little VW. Tell him we're right at the end and you won't be able to find us. Or that. Okay. Because he was an Irishman, we used to rub it in, you know. But it was only a laugh, because he was a nice chap. But, and then that fellow I used to work with, he died. Prior to him dying, I was doing a lot of new work over here on these labs all along here, all the hills. And we installed ones here. I remember working for Dr. Miller. We was walking past and you'd get the advice note for what was required in the buildings, like different bays. And my mate Arthur came up and he said, oh, I keep walking past here. He said, the chap sitting there with head in behind his head, like that, his hand in his rolling back in his chair, thinking with his eyes shut, right? He said, I keep walking behind, he's always like it. I said, you move it, so he's all right. So eventually we went in there, and it was Dr. Miller, I don't remember his name. And we said, oh, we can't go. Oh, that's good, he said. So my mate pulled out of contact with what he said. He said, you look remarkably busy, like, you know. So he said, well, I am, as a matter of fact. And he got stacks of paper on his desk, like that. He said, I've been on a project, he said, and I've just been compiled listening to book form. He said, oh, I've written all those books on the shelf now. So three years' work. Yeah, Miller.
Oh, Charlie
Miller.
Yeah,
that was a bit of a laugh.
Could I ask you, I did a few years during the war here, and we had the magnetophones.
I found one. I'll give it to the people here in the museum. And it was the only one which survived, that was.
Yes, oh,
and that was in the police lodge. The police lodge on the main gate. And we upgraded their equipment one time, and this was sitting on there, you know. And I said to the sergeant, I'll take that away if you like, because it don't work. No, he said, a bloody nuisance. He said, the girls had to clean it and all that, because it was in pristine condition, you know, because all the state of hygiene, and it was in top of the hole, wasn't it, you know. Everything was polished and all that. So he said, yeah, take it away. So I took it away and I took it home and I kept it right until I joined this thing. I thought, well, it can go back to its home now, right, you know.
Yeah, because it was, at the time, as you know, it was an internal system. That's and right. You had to three ask for the outside line.
Yeah, and there was three exchanges. One was at the NG. I've got a little booklet with the three exchanges. One was NG, I think one was Duncotton. But I've got that, and I'll fetch it up to him, you know, like an evidence. It's got all the numbers of the chief chemist and all things like that.
This would be, when it was a...
Oh, yeah, because I found that just after the war. It was all sort of obsolete then. But we did find one exchange down the NG down there, because I remember pulling all that NG down right up the far end, all the acid factory and that, by the nitrate and the big chimney stack they filled and all that, big boiler house. But there was an old exchange there. It was only a small exchange about that bit.
Two plugs.
I never touched that. But originally, the first exchange I can remember being in here before this new one was built was in, Walton House. And a woman named Rosie, she was the telephonist then. And then when I built the new one, Rosie went over to there, and Peggy Sharp was the other telephonist there. She left, and her husband took the Spotty Cow pub in Waltham Abbey. I was going in there with pints. I still see her about quite often, you know. because you used to have a sort of semi-resident engineer who used to maintain the main exchange building. We only done the extensions and bits and pieces out like any poles
or going around the labs if there were
that's right, yeah, there. Or you'd get an advice note, you know.
Well, what you know, labs for they
buildings, them, yeah, and they'd say your phone required in so-and-so building, a flame-proof phone, and they was making a great ironclad thing.
Oh, yeah,
you know.
Great class iron boxes.
Yeah, and, we fitted three of them, but most of them was over, I don't think there was any this side, they was over the south side. There was two on the Acetone Bank, I remember, along there. And there was another one, I forget where the other one, but it was on the south side. And there was also what we call a Privacy Set 6AA, that was a scrambler. That's the only one I knew in this establishment. That was over the ISRG.
Was that for secrecy or something?
Secrecy, where and normal and scrambled. It had a button on the phone. And you always had a green handset, a black telephone, a green handset. And the only place we could test them with was the test desk at Whitehall Exchange.
Because I believe a lot of the phone technology, you mentioned cast iron box and that, was
spark-proof and flame-proof.
The mines used
yeah, that's right. Yes. And anywhere where there's inflammable liquids or vapours, you know, anything like that. And he used to pull a dial around, it was all dials then. And when he released it, it spun back very quickly. And then you hear the impulses go tick, 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 tick.
But
that was quite. They weighed about 90-odd pounds. And we used to sort of have to drill our holes because there was no sort of drills out there. I mean, all the hand drilling, right? You know, hours. Especially then building such concrete or reinforced concrete.
To hang these things on
the
wall.
Yeah, yeah. And then we used to get the electricians here to run a bit of conduit where we wanted it.
That was interesting. What about your letter time then? You carried on until when? I carried on until must have been the late 60s.
And then I went on to make, prior to that, I remember we fitted a phone for Whitbread down on that number one firing point on New Hill. Went down there and, because he used to be 147, didn't he, used to go. That was awful place that was to get in there. And it was like a tunnel went in, reinforced concrete tunnel. We had to fix a cable along all the way in there, and it took hours and hours, and we were breaking more plugs one after the other, and they had test firings, and he said to us, right, we'll test fire, leave the building, so I sort of went outside, retired, and bang, back in again. In the end, he said, if you like, he said, you can stay in here. He always had an assistant, a young chap, He said, you can stay in here if you like, he said, but cover your ears up and don't lean on the wall, So we said, all right. So that took us about well over a week, I think, to fit the phone in there, But
George was a very practical bloke.
He was a nice man, I didn't work under him, obviously,
He died only a few months ago,
But to us, he treated us well,
So long as you did your stint, he was okay. But when you start, if you're trying to skyrock and that,
he wouldn't sort of said that to us, apparently.
You never thought you wanted to do that, George?
Always
encouraged you to.
On another place where I remember fitting the phone, when they started working on that grand nitrator down there, they opened that up or something, I forget what it was for, and they called it the Egg House at that time. And we installed a phone in there. And also another one in the steam stove opposite. They was doing some work, I don't know what it was about. Yeah. So we installed two phones up there. That was some of the last ones we fitted up there, I think. And as I say, then I sort of went on a different branch of the job on maintenance work. That was fault clearing and things like that, and renewing dangerous poles, things like that. But if there was any faults in here, sometimes we'd get drafted in here to clear faults, normally they act with trees coming down and things like that, wires wearing out where the trees was. And then I changed off of that towards the end of my service onto pole testing, because that hadn't been done through the years, through the war, it had been neglected. And there was four of us, we'd done all the northern area, we had about 25,000 poles to test. It took 6 years to do them. It was a 6-year cycle.
When you say northern area, what do you mean?
Anywhere from Upper Clacton, right out to St Albans, Smallford, Potter's Bar, Cuffley, Wolfencross, down there.
Did the, I always recall that on the railway line, it was always known, it had its line of poles. Would they
No.
be mainly poles for the railway, or would they
No.
ever carry
No.
national lines?
Well,
Oh,
we
no.
did
Sorry.
man sometimes a line on them, but you had to get
Oh,
permission, you know.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you always had a railway flag and with you, because if you work on any railway property, you know, a
Yeah.
railway man. Because when these red helmets come out, the post office hard helmets was red. And if you worked on the railway, you couldn't wear them. You had to have an orange cover to put over it,
Oh,
like, you know.
yeah. Oh, that's
So,
nice.
because they get confused with red signals or
Yeah.
something,
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Yeah,
That's.
but as I say, we done maintenance work, you know, and then I came in here and tested all the poles in here and found umpteen what was rotten, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, you
that's
know,
nice.
but there was a lot of private poles in here which you don't test. You test them for your client and make sure they're not rotten, you know, but
Oh,
you're not responsible for the poles, you know,
yeah.
the undertaking who owns the poles is responsible for them, but you can always tell post office ones because they was coded, got a code on them, right?
Yeah. The did, I suppose you got to knew got to know quite a few of the characters in
Oh,
training.
yeah, Harry Giddens and the electrician, he always used to work for
Oh,
us
yeah,
if we
that's
want
right.
anything. Oh, look, we,
Yeah.
I remember when we were doing insulation work, when they built the new ballistics lab down there, where Dr. Hodge,
Dr.
Hodge,
Yes,
was it?
that's right,
Used
yeah.
to work in there and
Yes,
yeah,
he's
had all
still
his,
going, is
yeah,
he?
had all
Yeah.
his different offices, all equipped. And we had to go and see him before he moved in, like, and he told us where he went with his phone. And he had his desk right in the centre of the room, like, he said, I had my phone on there. So normally you run phone cables along the wall, you know, and have a trailing lead
Yeah,
onto
that's
the
nice.
desk. But with his being in the centre, we couldn't do that. So we see Harry Giddings, and he put a nice conduit across the floor, like, you know, with a box right underneath the desk. So his cable comes straight up, you know, almost between his legs underneath his desk. So when we moved in, when they moved in, like, we went down to see if everything was all right. So he said, oh, yeah, by the way, he said, one thing, I've got a little problem. He said, perhaps you could explain it to me. He said, everybody else's phone, he said, they all come trailing off the wall onto the desk. He said, why does mine come through the floor? I said, well, you expressed the ask for that. Did I? He said, did I? I said, yeah. Oh, right. Good job, very good job. Yeah. Because they meant he carried a little
Oh, he was a
little
dry
wave
stick,
around about,
old.
didn't they?
Eh?
I meant he was a bit,
Yes, oh, yes, he
yeah.
was a dry sense of humour, he
Yeah,
was,
but
old
he
Hodge.
was a nice
Yeah.
man. Well,
The,
I've never met no sort of body who was sort of, you
no,
know, awkward or that.
no,
But they
the,
was
the
accommodating.
story goes up, I spoke and knew somebody in the stores office, and they said that one day old Hodge went into the stores office. And he said, I'm looking for Mr. Hoy and HOY. Oh, yes, he's just down there, just down there. Went down there, he says, you Mr. Hoy? Yes, he says, any relation to Ship Ahoy? Yeah. And of course, the office fell
That
about. That's a
erupted.
typical sort of Hodge
Yeah.
joke.
Yeah.
But, oh, it's,
Oh, that's a
yeah.
nice catch. Oh, another one was Yuri, Dr. Yuri.
Oh, yes.
Because I remember we worked in his place, he had a little concrete bunker up by
Yeah.
L122 by the main lead. And he had, I think he said it was a cobalt 60 radioactive source in there,
Yeah,
like,
that's
you know.
right.
So when we worked in there, we had safety officers, like, they give us a guide account, I suppose you'd say. They said, stand out on the desk, and I switch it on, it's going tick, tick. You know, they said, if it speeds up, make a hasty retreat, right, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And we also got little ones, they look like tire pressure gauging, you put it in your top pocket. And they said, every 10 minutes or quarter an hour, hold it up to the light, and you can look through, and it was a little scale in there, like, you know, if it starts reading, you're coming up.
Scarpa,
Yeah,
yes.
come out the building, right, you know,
Yeah.
but nothing ever happened in there.
No,
It was all
yeah.
quite safe. Yeah,
Yes, he was a.
he was a Dutchman, right? Was he a Dutchman?
Well, he was Jewish, I
Jewish,
think.
was he? Yeah,
Yes.
URI, I think his name was Yuri, wasn't it? Yeah,
Yes.
he
I'm
was
sure.
a
Anyway,
nice
he's a
man.
very short chap, and we used to
That's
be
all right,
quite.
he was a tiny
He
man.
drove a Morris Minor, and even the Morris Minor, you can hardly
Right, you
see
see
over
him, you're looking over the wheel,
windscreen, you know.
yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's a. Oh, well,
Yeah,
oh,
there
it's.
was lots of people you got to know, you know. You can't call them all to
No.
mind now, can you? You know.
Were there any, well, without being morbid, any, well, accidents or humorous, you know, any, you won't hear one of any explosions, will it? No, no,
No, nothing.
no.
Oh, I remember the Saturday morning when Jack Hampton got blown up and the other chap
Oh,
got
yes.
killed on the burning ground. because I was knowing quite well. Old Jack Hampton and little Len, he got killed, didn't he, Len? He got killed, and there was another youngest chap, I think he got injured, ended up with a job on the messengers or something like that. And that happened on a Saturday morning because Erddig closed, and we all lived upon the same light. You know, and when I'm coming here on the Monday, they said there'd been an accident, and Jack Hampton had lost his leg, right? And he ended up over the fire station normally, down the Sewerston Gate. Used to see him over there quite often. And he gave me, I'll collect picture postcards of the River Lee. And he gave me three picture postcards of, not of the River Lee, but of the munitions factory at the Small Arms. I still got them though, yeah. They're quite interesting though, wasn't it? It was a sort of a hostel ad for the workers during the 1418 war, like, you know. He was a nice man, big man he was. He looked a bit like a gypsy really, didn't he? I know
Yes, I
that
think
now
I'll
he
make
looked.
this one.
Always wore a flat cap.
It's, there was a chap was a. Did you ever remember him? He was a messenger.
Oh, he used to ride a
Arthur.
jock.
I
A
can't
little
remember his name.
Scotsman used to ride a Boac.
Yeah, this chap rode a bike. He had a great big bag on it. It used to nearly cut him in half.
That's right, yeah.
And
He was not a very big man, was he? A small man, that's
no,
right.
that's what I'm trying to
Yeah,
remember.
we used to
What
call
was
him
it?
Jock. I thought his name was Jock. We used to call him Jock. But he was a messenger.
Because they all used to come around
Messenger on
walking
the
on
bike, that's right,
bicycles,
that's right.
Because
To get our work, I used to order through the ministry, like, and we used to see Mr. Glosier at the hostel block, you know, around the back of number 9, and then Glosier went, and a chap called Bill Ball took over, and then he went retired, and a chap named Lacey, I think, took over in the end, you know. But we used to clear with him because everything used to come in duplicate and triplicate. When we'd done a job, we'd take it down, and he could write off his copy completed, and we could write off ours completed, and all that, you know. But for working in here, you had an open order, really, you know, you could spend as much time as you want. And
She
it
was just
was,
generally here maintaining the
yeah,
stuff, wasn't
and it
she?
was
Fine.
really good for us because you've got an open works order, you know, you just used to write on the back of your timesheets, working under the supervision of safety officer in a danger area or something like that, which it wasn't quite often, you know, but that carried a lot of weight.
Yeah,
No,
well, and
that,
you were more or
no,
less seconded here. You
that's
didn't have to keep
right.
going back to Wood Green,
No,
did you?
and no, oh yeah, we went out every night, like,
Did you from
yeah.
Wood Green?
But at that time, my headquarters had shifted down to Enfield. But, you know, that, you know, that was a good get out,
Were
really,
you
you
involved with
know.
the our electricians? Well, I'm trying to think of
Only
somebody.
if we wanted any conduit erected. And another thing they used to supply for us, because this system always had the operator recall facility on the phone, you know, you could press the button, get the operator. And there was no provision for that on these flame-proof telephones. So we used to get a press button, big ironclad press button off the electricians, and they used to fit them in our circuit for us, and we used to wire them in.
Oh, so.
And it was only to an extended earth onto the circuit, which lit a light on the switchboard.
That's because the switchboard went to, when I was here in the in the 60s to the 80s
On the roundabout.
on the
And then,
roundabout,
yeah, that's how it was a new one, I'll see
It
him.
all comes back, doesn't
Yeah,
it? The
I'll see him. I remember burning that old, where that gunpowder press up down there was, you know, the gunpowder press with the water wheel. I
Yes.
remember burning the roof off of that. That was
Oh,
over a
yes.
weekend. And then the back of the exchange,
Pity you did it. Was,
there was an
yes.
old building there, an old wooden building, where you could see the edge running millstones and everything in there, and the trough.
Oh,
It was there,
yes.
and they burnt that down one weekend.
Yes, it was at the end of the long walk, wasn't it?
Yeah, right behind our telephone
Oh,
exchange, it
yeah.
was, yeah. You know, as the road coming off the roundabout, Hoppit Road went off,
Oh,
and it was
yes.
just
That's
along
not, oh, yeah.
Hoppit Road on the right-hand side it was. When we
Yeah.
come on the Monday morning, obviously all the wooden building had been burnt out, but it
Yeah.
was just the iron trough, like, and the two edge runner reels and the iron gearing and all
Yeah.
that.
It was a
Was there.
shame that they
And
were
then that
treated
was
like
all
that.
smashed up and dumped, I
They
suspect,
could
you
have,
know,
it was so
preserved it,
easy to decontaminate a gunpowder building. I mean, hoses and that would wash any
That's
trace of
right.
things out, and they could then have now an original gunpowder building.
Yeah.
But, there were so such up, being scientists. A large number of them hadn't really any sympathy
No, not
for the
old things.
place.
They was trying to keep up with the times. That was all old hat,
Yes,
wasn't
get all old stuff, get it cleared up, tidy the place up.
That's right. I remember over that south side, we worked over there for, what was his name? He was a doctor, only a young man, and he was working on the Bristol Bloodhound for the propellant on that. And they equipped all the big new building out for it at the back of the RDX Road, it was, and on the end buildings. And I think he trained that, I forget his name now, it comes to me later on. He was only a young man, and I reckon the Americans couldn't tame this sort of propellant, but he did, yeah, and then he left soon after that.
What did you manage for did you have canteen facilities? You use ours.
Yeah, we used yours when we was working in here, yeah, but we used to go out and have a pint in the pub or cup of tea down Marlack Woods or wherever. But afternoons,
it's on the corner outside the Abbey,
afternoons we used to go, well, at one time, Hobbit Island there, there was a big wooden building when there was a canteen.
Yes, the Hobbit Canteen.
That's right, we used to go in there and then that was pulled down. And there was a similar sort of building over the south side near where the fire station is now, a big old wooden building like that.
What's that?
I don't know if you remember that same type of building, all tarred, weren't they? Big old wooden building. And then they pulled that one down and built a new.
That's right. Shingles.
They must have dated back to well before the First World War, I should imagine.
Oh, I've got then. Did you meet a future husband or wife?
I'm not married. No, I'm still looking for somebody. I left it a bit later, I think.
Oh well, anyway, Dennis, that's given us a start. That's going back to the beginning again. What school did you go about?
Started at Bushell Park.
Oh yes.
And then got bombed out in 12th October 1940. We got bombed out. I was living, lost everything like that. We moved up to Nottingham, and my dad was working at the small arms. So he left there, went to Nottingham, living there for a while. My dad worked at a rally cycle works, that was on war production. I went to a school, Redford Boulevard School, I think it was called there. And then eventually the small arms asked for my dad to go back down there. So we moved back down here, went into a requisitioned house at Green Street in Grimsdale. And then I went to Suffolk School, the Brick Lane. And then the war ended while I was there, and then the owner wanted the house back, so we moved to Ordnance Road, Titchfield, what road was it? Caddisfield Road, Caddisfield Road. My dad was still working at the small arms then, and while we was down there, about 1948, the house was rebuilt, and we moved back in, but we moved back in next door to where we used to live. I was born in 39, I live in 37 now. But we moved back into him as they was rebuilt. We moved back in. And I'm still paying rent on the house now. The landlady, she lives in Australia, landlady. But my father had a tenancy, and when he died in 1962, passed to my mother. And when she died in 1980, it passed to me for the rest of my natural life, I think. So that's nice,
Oh, that's nice.
And the landlady comes and visits me about once every 5 years, I suppose, you see how I am. Comes from Australia to see me. So.
She comes over just for a bit of holiday, I think.
I'm a bit of an avid collector of horse prices and odds and ends, and I think she only comes to see all my collections, see if I've added to it.
Oh, yeah, you've got a collection
of on canals, I've got a great interest in canals too, which is another nice thing in here,
the canal system. You'd like to see them if they fill up again.
I like to see them as they are anyway. I've always been interested really in industrial archaeology, it's always sort of available. I've got many books on it though.
I'm a member of the, in Walthamstow, we've got an old pump house, sewage pumping house.
Oh yes, yeah.
And I'm one of the friends of that,
I belong to the Yorkshire Society as well, always out and about doing something or other, collect postcards at the River Lea and a bit of Stoughton.
Yes. Oh, well, you've certainly got a
Plenty of hobbies. That's why I never had time to get married.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what he would put out on that.
Well, Dennis, that's fine. And thank you very much for, you know, spending your time to let us get some of your memories. Which,
well, it's nice to know a bit before, because all these things sort of die with you, don't they?
They do, that's right, yeah. So it's getting increasingly difficult to find people who can go back to the wartime days.
Wartime, yes.
And that is really the stuff I feel that we should be interested in.
Yeah.
The factory as it was when it was lying up and going, yes.
As I say, when I first came in, it wasn't up and going, but it was in decay then, you know.
Yes.
But, all the canals still had water in them, I remember.
Yeah.
And, but everything was gradually decaying, right? You know.
It's a pity the railway's not still here.
Because the old swing bridge, you know, along the side there, that was there where it used to come under the refinery bridge.
You
still see the stump where the bridge was pivoted on, but the bridge was actually the iron bridge was actually on there.
That iron bridge was that could easily have been left.
Yeah, because they swung it over and put it on the bank, didn't they?
Yes,
because it had a signal on it as well, didn't it?
Yes, that's right. You worked on the wire. Yeah. Yes. Okay, then, Dennis. Right, well, we'll call it a day for now. Thank you very much.